Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Ayin Hey Amud Bet at the beginning of the sixth parak. We are now moving very clearly away from the issue of ribit and of halva'a and moving into the area of contracts, which will occupy us for the next several chapters. And the first Mishnah, Hasocherta Umanin V'it'u Et Ze Et Ze. And we will see in our Gemara two different approaches to understanding what this means. Simple read is that if someone hires artisans to do work for him, and there is some misleading going on between them, who the them is, the simple read, of course, is that the hirer somehow misled the workers or vice versa, then ein lahem ze al ze ela tar'omet. The only thing they can do is complain, that is, they don't have any legal claim against each other. We'll see what the context is and the circumstance. Sachar ta chamar ve ta kedar lahavi priafirin chalim lekalau lemeit. These are examples now of things that you would hire in which, if they are not done in time, then or in a timely fashion, then they are lost. The opportunity is lost, or the material is lost, and therefore there is an urgent need to get them done. So let's say that you hired a donkey driver or a potter to bring some sharpened wood or some chalilim, some musical instruments for a wedding or for a funeral. In other words, these are things that can't wait. You hired workers to take the flax out of the flax soaking vat, choldavar shaved, or anything else, which, if it's not done right away, will be lost, and then they walked out, or they canceled on you. If there's no one else to hire, then you can hire on them, which sort of means on their account, as we will see, you can mislead them themselves, evidently meaning you can offer to pay them more, and then the end not. Let's say that you hire workers, and they change their mind. Yadam ala tachtona. Then they are in the least powerful position as far as renegotiating the terms. We'll see what that means in the Gemara, but not in this first podcast. Im balabait choserbo, but if, on the other hand, the owner, the hirer, changed his mind and reneged, yado ala tachtona, then he is in the less powerful position. And again, we'll see what that means. The general rule is anyone who changes the terms, he is in the least powerful position. And anyone who reneges on an agreement is in the least powerful position, meaning the other one can dictate the terms or has the most favorable of the variable terms that might exist. Okay, the Gemara immediately picks up, as I mentioned, on the word hit'uzetzeh, and notices chazruze bazeloktani. It doesn't say that they changed their mind, as we had in the second Mishnah. Elahituze etze, that they misled each other. What does that mean? The atu poali mahadadi, the workers misled each other. In other words, it's not talking about the balabayit and the umanin, but rather the workers misleading each other. What's that talking about? Echidami. The amar le balabayit zil ogar li poalim. So the balabayit said to one man, who will call the foreman, that's what I called him on the handout, go hire workers for me. Va'azal ihu vatinu, and he went and misled them about what they were going to get paid. Let's see. Hechidami. Ida amar le balabait bi'arba, if the balabait said I'll pay them four. What is it? Four ma'a a day, whatever it might be. Va'azal ihu amar le hubitlata, and the fellow went and hired them at three a day, which means he's saving the balabait money. Tarumut mayavite. Why would they come and complain? They accepted. Savarikabil. They accepted three. And they worked for three. Why would they come and complain? So, Ida Amr, and the Mishnah member said, Ein lahem al taromet. Ida Amr le balabait bithlata, if the opposite happened, the balabait said, hire them for three, va'azali omar lehu ba'arba, and the foreman went and hired them for four. So then we have the following question. Hechidami. Ida Amr lehu schachem alai, if the foreman said, I'll take care of your payment, so not to limit the day, then he asked the balabait to pay three, and this guy has to pay the fourth. Tetanya, hasocher eta poela sope shalo, you hire somebody to work in your field. But you showed him your neighbor's field. You have to pay him full. And then you can go to the fellow whose work he actually did and say, you got to pay me for the benefit that you got. All right? So you see that in this case, the foreman himself would have to pay the difference. So there's no taromet here. There's a real claim, and they'd get paid for that. So he went and said to them, the balabait will take care of your payment. And he offered them more than the balabait really offered. Well, then we have an easy solution. Why don't we just see what the average wage is? If the average wage is 3, then that means that they should understand it's 3. If the average wage is 4, that's fine. So lotzuicha de'ikad amagar barbav, ikad amagar betlata. This is the kind of work that some people accept for 4, some people accept for 3. Da'amrule, and what is their complaint, but no claim? E, lav, da'amar lan b'arbav, had you not told us 4, tachinu matgarinu b'arbav, we would have worked and tried to find another job for 4. In other words, this is their complaint. You told us 4, even though 3 is an acceptable rate, we went and worked. At the end of the day, he gives us 3. We say, wait, you told us 4. Said, yeah, well, he said 3. So, well, had we known that, we would have worked to try to find another job somewhere and gotten it for 4. So, ibaitema, there's another way to look at it. Hacha balabait askinan, that the foreman himself is a balabait. To amrule, they turned to him and say, ilav da amrat lan biarba, had you not told us 4, have zila ban milta litgure. Meaning that these guys are not workers. The guys who are working are themselves owners. And they said, had you told us 3, we wouldn't have gone to work. We only went to work because it was a higher rate, which is a variation on the theme. In other words, either these guys are regular workers, and they would have said, had we known it was going to be 3, we would have found another job for 4. In other words, they have a real complaint. They're not just insulted, but they have a real complaint. And the other possibility is these are guys who normally don't do this kind of work. They said, for 4, we would have worked. For 3, now, this course, all in the circumstance where both 3 and 4 are acceptable going rates. The other possibility is, as we originally said, that we're not talking about balabai, but rather about workers, people who regularly work. Since you told us 4, we did better work for you. In other words, had you told us 3, we would have taken the job, maybe, but we wouldn't have worked as hard. You told us 4, we worked better. Well, if that's the case, then it's very easy. Just take a look at the work. If it's a quality 4 work, fine, pay them 4. If not, then 3. The answer is Berifka. We're talking about where they dug a moat or a ditch. So Berifka now made the idea. You could see how deep and how well they dug it. No, Damali Mayad. It was already filled with water. Velo Yadia. And you can't see how deep and how strong it is because it's already filled with water. All right, so now there's another possibility in what happened in the circumstances. You could see there's quite a bit of confusion about what happened here. Liolam da'amrle balabayit bi'arba. Really what happened is the balabayit said 4. This was our original contention that we knocked out right away. Vazal'iyo amar lehu b'tlata. And the foreman went and said 3. U'taka'amrut sovr v'kabil. And you're going to say, aha, but the workers accepted it. But they should turn around and say, yes, but since the balabayit originally said 4, you don't want to keep good from the people who it's deserved to. In other words, they'll say, since we now found out that the balabayit originally offered 4, even though we agreed to 3, you should still pay us the 4. All right, good. So now, so we have a few different circumstances that might be, and it's really unclear who's misleading whom. We're going to see another option on the next Talmud. Pshita, I amar le balabayit b'tlata, v'yazal iu amar le b'arba. So now, the following is obvious to us. Had the balabayit said 3, and the foreman went and said 4, v'yamri le, and they turned around and said, k'mosha mar balabayit. They say, whatever the balabayit says, we're going to work as per the balabayit. Da'atayu ayiluya. They intend to understand the higher amount. In other words, if the balabayit said 3, and the guy said 4, and they say, just like the balabayit said, that means that they mean the way that you reported what the balabayit said, and they've only accepted 4. And now, the foreman and the balabayit have to work it out, but they have to pay him 4. Eli amar le balabayit parabav, azal yu amar le b'tlata, but let's flip it and see what happens. What if the balabayit said the higher amount, the foreman said the lower amount, ve'amri kamasha mar balabayit, and they turn to the foreman and say, whatever the balabayit said, my. Adibor didei kosamchi, are they relying on the foreman, the amri le mehem natlan hachi amar balabayit. We trust you that that's what the balabayit said, which means they're accepting 3. Odilma dibor de balabayit kasamchi. Or maybe what they mean is, we don't know what you said, but we're relying that the balabayit's a good guy and he's going to hire us at a proper rate, which means they're understanding whatever the balabayit said, and indeed the balabayit said 4. So let's see. In other words, when you have an agent who comes and represents these dispatchers' words, and the recipient says whatever the dispatcher said, does he mean the way you reported it, or whatever he really said? So Toshma, let's see this proof from the latter part of Masachet Gittin. Have li giti, if a woman says to a man, go get my get for me, which means she makes him a shliach holacha, and that means that the get is not valid until it gets to her hands. And then he comes to the husband and says, Vishtacham, right, Kabaligiti. He comes to the husband and says, your wife wanted me to be a shliach Kabbalah, which would mean the minute I get the get, she's divorced. Vomer helach kamashamra, and the husband says, take it as she said. What do we do with that? I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Avu, I'm a Rav. What does Rav say? I feel get li adayin amugureshet. Even when the get gets to her, there's no gerushin. It's not valid at all. The get is not invalid. The shlichut is invalid. Now, what do you see? From that shavat mina, dibur adideka samech. We're relying on his words, meaning the shliach's words. Why? If we assume that the husband is relying on the wife's words and saying, whatever she said, I accept, then what does that mean? And that means the husband basically said to the shliach, whatever she really said, and she really said, shliach holacha, then when it gets to her, she should be divorced. Why isn't she divorced at all? It must be because he's relying on the shliach's words, and the shliach said, I'm a shliach kabbalah. He wasn't a shliach kabbalah, which means that doesn't work, and it can't be a shliach holacha, because the husband never agreed to that, because he was relying on the shliach's words. So therefore you see that you are operating based on the shliach's words, not on the dispatcher's words. Amar Rav Ashi, no, hachi hashta, doesn't work like that. Bishtamayet mar ipcha, if you had the opposite case in Gittin, where the woman said itka beligiti vishtacham rave ligiti, where the woman really made him a shliach kabbalah. And he came to the husband and said, she asked me to go bring it to her. V'omer helech kamo shamra, and then the husband said, take it to her as she said. And then had Rav said the minute that the get gets to his hand, she's divorced, you see that he's relying on her words because she made a mishtech kabbalah. Then you would see that. Or if you had that case and say she's divorced when it gets to her hands, then you'd see that we're relying on the shliach's words, that the husband sees him as a shliach holacha, and it works when it gets to her. Elahatam, but in the case where the shliach made himself a shliach kabbalah, or announced himself that way, but he was really a shliach holacha, shum da'akar shliach shlichut legamre, he totally uprooted his shlichut. Tamale shliach le kabbalah havina le holacha lo havena. In other words, think about it this way. If somebody is a shliach holacha, a shliach kabbalah, and he calls himself a shliach holacha, he's obligating himself to do more. He's not negating his being a shliach kabbalah, he's adding to it. But if he calls himself a shliach kabbalah, who is really a shliach holacha, he's diminishing what he's doing, and he's totally uprooting it. Because he's saying, I don't have to go back to her. The minute I get to get, she's divorced. And that's just not true. So Rashi says, there's no proof here. This doesn't prove that the husband is relying on his words or on her words. The shliach has totally uprooted the shlichut, and that's why it's no good, even when it gets back to the wife. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah, and as I mentioned on this Amud, we have a whole different take on what happened in the Mishnah. Perhaps our understanding of the language is no good. In other words, the Tana might use the word hitu, misled, to mean chazru. They changed their mind and backed out, which means the owner, after he hired them, said, forget, I don't want to do the job, or the workers, when they got to the job, walked away. How do we know that? To Tanya, we have the following braita, and it's a very long braita. Hasocherta umanin vitu et balabait. If a man hired workers or artisans and they misled the balabait, we'll see what misled means. A balabait itaotana, the balabait misled them. Einlam zalze ala taromet. And then, bamedvar mamurim, shelo halchu. This is if they didn't go to do the job. Let's say the balabayit hired donkey drivers to go get some grain for him, and they got there and there was no grain. He hired workers to irrigate a field, and they got there and found it was already wet. He has to pay them full. Now, we'll stop at this point and notice that even though this bright is introduced as hit'u et zedzeh, we know that it's chazru. It's not a question of misleading about how much they're going to pay. It's that they backed out of the deal. So you see that backing out of a deal would be comfortably called hit'u by the Tana. And therefore, that may be what our Mishnah is talking about. It's talking about a man hires workers, and either the workers walked away from the job or the man decided not to do the job. Then the only complaint is taromet, and they owe him nothing, and he owes them nothing. Parenthetically, just back to finish the braita, that even though he has to pay them You cannot, let's say the donkey drivers go to get grain, and they come, and there's no grain. They go there, and there's no grain. He has to pay them full, but you have to admit that it's not the same job to bring back an empty donkey as to bring back a laden donkey, which means he's going to pay them full, but not full as if they're bringing back a full donkey. We'll see how that plays out later in the conversation with Rav. Now, it's not the same thing if somebody's sitting doing nothing or if they're actually working. You might have to pay them, but you have to pay them as much. Now, another fork in this, this only is true if they didn't start doing the work. If they started working, and then somebody backs out, you say, let's figure out how much the value of their actual work was, and you pay them. Ketzad, let's see an example. Kiblu kamali ktsor b'shnei slayim. Let's say they accepted they would cut the stalks in a field for shnei slayim. Katsu chetzia, they got halfway through, and then they walked out. V'nichu chetzia. Begev la'rog b'shnei slayim, they agreed to weave a garment for two slayim. Argu chetzio v'nichu chetzio, they did half, and then they walked away. Shaminan mashasu, you pay them half of the value, because they did half the job. Hayafesh isha dinarim noten lahem sela. O yigmur malachtan v'idlu shnei slayim. So if the garment was worth a dinar, it doesn't matter what it was worth, you pay them, you agree to pay them two slayim, you either give them a sela, or let them finish and get them both slayim. V'im sela noten lahem sela. If the garment's worth a sela, you pay them a sela in any case. Avidosi omer shomin lahem mashatid lahasot. You have to estimate what was left to do, meaning what you're going to have to hire somebody else to do. If it's, the whole thing was worth 60 dinarim and they did half, then you only give them a shekel. Right? In other words, you're not going to pay them half because what they left over, you're going to pay them basically a fourth. Because what they left over, you're going to have to hire somebody to do the rest of the job. But again, if the thing's only worth a sela, you pay them the sela. All of this is true about the kind of work that isn't lost if you do it. If it's going to be lost, then you do what we saw in our Mishnah that we're going to explicate later on, which is that you hire someone else and on their cheshbon, or else you mislead them by offering them more, and then when time comes, you don't pay them that. Ketzad mata'an, what does that mean? I agreed to a sela, come, I'll pay you two. And how much are you allowed to hire someone else on their account? Ad arba'a v'chamishim zuz. It's quite a bit. That's only if there's no other workers around. Then you go hire somebody who's not a regular worker, who normally wouldn't work for a little. You hire them for a lot, and they have to pay the difference. But let's say there were workers, and you said, go hire these guys, and alehan elataromet. Right, then only he only has complaints on them because he's able to find other workers who will do the job for the regular labor cost. That's the Braita. But the only reason we brought that Braita was to show that the word hit'u in Tanaitic literature may refer to chazru. Now, Tani Tana Kameh de Rav, a Tana taught this Braita in front of Rav, notein lahem scharan mishalem. In the second line we said, let's say you sent the workers to go pick up the grain and there's no grain there, you have to pay them a full payment. That's what Rav heard. Amar le chavivi amar, he said, my beloved uncle, that means Rav Chia, said, ilu ana havai, if I were there when this Braita was taught, lovi even alahan ela kepoel batel, I would have only given them kepoel batel, which we dealt with in the last parak. Somebody who's not working. V'yatamar otem lahem scharan mishalem, and you say you have to pay them full? Wait a second. Wait a second. The next line, the Braita said, but we don't really pay them full. We pay them full for somebody who brings a donkey that's not laden. So version one is that Rav never heard the end of the Braita. Right at that point, he interrupted and said, Rav Chia would disagree with that. You don't pay them a full payment for doing nothing. The other possibility is that they did finish the Braita. And he said, Chavivi Amar, Rav Chia said, I wouldn't pay them anything. And you say you should pay them something? In other words, you pay them for carrying an empty donkey? I don't think you should pay anything. So, Elakasha Hach, but if Rav Chia, according to the second version, they said you pay them nothing, what do you do with the Braita? So, Lakasha, how does Sairi la Aramid Orta? How do the Sairi la Aramid Orta? We don't want to say that Rav Chia disagreed. Say that Rav Chia was talking about a different case. If the Balabayit showed the workers the work they were going to do the night before, the field to irrigate, the grain to pick up, whatever it is. And they said, okay, we'll do it, and they set a price. And then the next day it came and it wasn't there, then indeed he doesn't have to pay them. But if he didn't show them the night before and they came there and they said, we had no idea this was an already irrigated field and the grain was not there, then he does have to pay them. Kipuel batel, or the smaller amount. If a guy hires people to do some irrigating in his field, and the next day, that night it rains and fills it up. If they did a tour of the field the night before, stated a poalim, the workers lose. They saw the field, they knew it was up, their bad luck. But if he didn't show them the field the night before, stated a balabite, then the balabite has to pay them. But how much does he pay them? Kapoel batel, in other words, they didn't really have to work, but they were hired to irrigate a field which now has been rained on. If you hire somebody to irrigate, va'atamitra, and then it rains. Pseida the poalim. The poalim don't get paid. There's the same psak as we saw with Rav. Then the poalim don't get paid. Sorry, this is what Rava said now in a different version. Atanahara, but on the other hand, if a river came, unexpectedly, of course, and overflowed its banks and irrigated the field, pseida v'alabayit. The v'alabayit has to pay for that. He has to pay them for their work. Batel. Of course, he doesn't pay them for work. He pays them kapuel batel. V'yamarava haimanda ogir agure l'davla. If you hire somebody to irrigate a field, the pasak nara palga de yoma, and the river that was being used to irrigate it dried up in the middle of the day. Ilo avid the pasak. If it never happens like that, pseida the poalim. Then the poalim lose. It's their bad luck, and there was no way the balabait could know that. Avid the pasik, but if it's something that sometimes this water dries up, ibne mata, if they live in that city, so pseida the poalim, then they lose also because they should know that's a river you can't rely on. Lavne mata, but if they're outsiders, pseida the balabait, then the balabait has to pay because there's no way they would know that that's a river that dried up, and it's something that does happen enough that he should have told them. V'yamarava, haimanda agar agure la avidata, let's say you hire someone to do some work, v'shalim avidata palgadiyoma, and you hire them for a contract job, and they finished in the middle of the day. If there's some work that you have that's lighter than that, then you can give it to them. So let's say, for instance, you hired people to for $30 for the day to move all the boulders out of the field so you could plow it. These guys are very industrious. They moved all the boulders out of the field, and it was noon. So in that case, you can then ask them to do a little light watering or something, which is clearly easier than that. If, on the other hand, inami dechavata mifkad lahu, if it's something that's equal, the kind of thing, you can give it to them. Dekashimina, but if you have only work that you got left is harder than that, lo mifkad lahu, then you don't have a right to give it to them. Then you have to pay them full. Am I related to the kapuel batel? Why should you give them full? They're sitting there from noon on doing nothing. You should pay them the kapuel batel for half the day. So kika amarava bachlushe de machuza. He's talking about the workers in machuza. Dilo avdi chalshi. That if they don't work, they get sick. Right? So these are people who always schlep things around, and if they sit, it's hard for them. Which means if you have them sit and not do any work, you have to pay them like they're working because, in a sense, that's harder for them than actually doing work. Okay, we're going to pick up an amar and daf ayin zayin amud aleph in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.